Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Quint Studer is here, too. He's the author of Hardwiring Excellence, and we're going to talk a little bit more about how to make sure we take care of our employees. Quint, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. I'm glad to be here.
It's good to have you back, and you were here a few months ago, and we talked about how to make sure that that we take care of our employees. And one of the things that you've been doing is you've been doing some research, haven't you, on why employees leave when they do?
Yeah, we've been doing research on that, quite a bit of research, because we have found such a connection between retention of employees and efficiency and quality.
Well, what have they told you? What have you found out?
Well, 39% of all employees that leave their job basically leave because they just don't feel a connection with their supervisor. So that would be number one, which ties into
they didn't. You mean they didn't leave because they weren't being paid well?
No, in fact, that never even comes up. You know, specifically new employees, because I mean, the reality is they just accepted a job for the salary and the benefits that they were given.
Right.
So we have found that basically the number one reason is they don't feel good about their supervisor. Number two, especially early on, is they might not feel that they really know the job well. They're just sort of throwing in there, so there's that whole feeling of discomfort there.
How much do you think of that kind of a feeling is because somebody didn't do a very good job of hiring?
Well, I think certainly that's the key. When you look at any research done by, whether it's Rheingold in building loyalty or James Collins in Good to Great, and I'm sure your listeners have heard of those names,
right,
or possibly. Both of them, when they talk about great companies, talk about selection. And it seems that's the common denominator here. And, of course, we recommend all our organizations spend a lot of time on selection. Unfortunately, and we find there's too many companies that do it the opposite. I call it the dyslexia of hiring. What everybody recommends is you select slow and you deselect fast. And we find too many companies that select fast and deselect slow.
Well, that's exactly the story that you hear in most small businesses, unfortunately. And the reason is because, as I've said before, only with my tongue somewhat in my cheek, that small business owners would rather be boiled in oil as go through the hiring process. And so we know we need to hire somebody, and somebody says, hey, I got a cousin or I got a brother-in-law that needs a job. And we said, well, send him over. I'll start him to work tomorrow. You know, and so we hire him like that, and then we find out we've made a bad mistake, and we take a year to get rid of him.
Well, I think I read the other day the average employment interview lasts 23 minutes before hire.
Oh, I'd be surprised if it was that long in small business.
So we recommend, very seriously, we recommend, one, you sit down and you, for what we call, create a matrix, which is what are the skill sets you basically are looking for, you know, whether it's in the training, whether it's experience, and then you weight it. Now, it all takes a little bit of time up front, but it saves so much time and money in the back end. And then you weight it, and then you basically know exactly what you're looking for. The second thing we recommend is behavioral-based interview questions. And these are methods or pretty simple questions to get at exactly what you're looking for.
What would be an example of a question?
I would say something like, Jim, tell me in your last job when you hit a barrier. Tell me what the barrier was and tell me how you overcame that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot different than, say, tell me about your last experience.
Exactly. And see, those kinds of questions are not intuitive for a small business owner in the hiring process, is it?
No, but, I don't want to over-push our website, but, I mean, they're not hard to find. You can go on our website or other websites and find behavioral-based questions.
Please give it to us because we need those. Go ahead.
Well, it's www.studergroup.com.
So you're saying if we go to your website, we can find some pretty good questions, and you're going to make those available to us for free, some questions
we
can ask to do a better job of hiring.
We have a lot of great toolkits for free. And, you know, or if they want to email me directly, Quint, Q-U-I-N-T, at studergroup.com.
S-T-U-D, by the way, S-T-U-D-E-R. Well, I appreciate that, Quint. That's awfully nice. And that's the kind of information, folks, I hope you'll take advantage of, because that's another reason why small business owners don't like the hiring process, is because we don't know how to do it. We're lost. We're completely lost when it comes. Well, we want to talk about our business, and we want to talk a little bit about them, but basically to know how to conduct a professional interview of an employee, we just don't have any experience, and the process is not intuitive.
Well, I think, Jim, the other point that we would make is you have to involve the coworkers. We find in coworkers, a lot of bosses hire because they're under pressure. You know, they walk through their work area, and the employees are saying, "We need help. We need help. When are we going to get some help?" And then, of course, you hire someone, and next time you walk through, the employees say, grab their head and say, "Where do you find these people?"
Well, but see, we think it's our job. We don't. If we don't have any experience with a major corporation, and having seen multiple interviews in the in a hiring process, that's another thing that's not intuitive. But I think you're exactly right. We need to make sure that somebody else in the organization interviews the candidate, whether that person is going to be cleaning up the warehouse or running your shop. You need to have somebody else, and the more important the job, probably the more times that you get interviewed. You know, I remember many years ago, actually, Quinn, I'm afraid to say, I could probably say decades ago, I was hired by Xerox, and I went through about five interviews, and three of them were people who I would never work with.
And we find, too, particularly if you interview with the peers do a better job many times describing exactly what the job is than the boss, because they're closer to it. They've got vested interest because they do not want to hire somebody that's not going to work out, because that puts the work on them. And probably the third thing is, if a peer is interviewed involved in the hiring process, they are much more likely to work hard for that new employee to be successful, because they feel a sense of ownership. Right. So that would be step one, peer interviewing. And step two, Jim, which we have found is this will reduce turnover 66% of new employees, as we give a four simple questions that every supervisor or boss, smaller business owner, should ask every new employee the 30th and 90th day.
All right. Tell us about that.
Okay. Question number one is a simple question, but it ties into values, because sometimes an employee will already feel they're not happy, but they don't know what to say. So the first question is, how do we compare to what you thought we were going to be like?
Now, this, folks, these questions are the ones you ask after you've hired these people. And we're going to get Quint to tell us some more of these. You want to get your pencil and paper to write these down right after these messages. We'll be back with Quint Studer, the author of Hardwiring Excellence. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Back, it's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com or jimblassingame.com or jbsba.com. Either one of those will get you to a little bit of small business heaven. You can find our new blog. Jim's blog is right there on the homepage, or you can go to jimsblog.biz, and the blog brings the things that we've done in the last week or two. This week and last week brings it all right up front, where you can go back and see and listen to some of those previous interviews, read some of the articles that have been posted by me over the last few days and few weeks. All that's right up front for you on the blog. That's one of the ways that we're using it, and I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. And don't forget to subscribe to our free newsletter. Quint Studer is our guest. He's the author of Hardwiring Excellence. And Quint, we're talking about, we've already got this person hired. They're a new hire. And you're saying that we need to be asking them questions in the first 90 days so that we don't have a failure in this hiring process.
Yeah, we can reduce turnover 66%. We've proven it. And unfortunately, when we talk to people, And I tell them, if I can reduce your turnover 66%, would you do it? And they go, yes. Yet it's real hard to get the discipline to do this. And we call it, of course, hardwiring. But let me give the four questions real quickly. And I guarantee every listener will find that there's some, this is, you know, we've had organizations say to us after this, this is worth hiring you just for this. So let me give them to them. Number one is the first question is, how do we compare to what we said we were going to be like? And first of all, it's a question that creates the relationship. But you're really asking them, have we delivered on what we told you? Because, you know, when we hire people, we sort of tell people what the training will be like, what the schedule will be like. And I'm not saying we don't say it or they don't hear it, but sometimes there's confusion. So somebody might say, well, I didn't get the training. The two complaints we get from new employees early on where they feel let down, either the training wasn't what they expected or the schedule was different than they expected.
The training part, that's the area that small business owners do the worst job of, is training their employees.
Right, and then, of course, you get off, and, you know, we can have some fun with this, but we find when people start, they are so excited about their new job, and we call that the unconsciously incompetent stage. They have no idea what they're going to do. And then, unfortunately, the next phase after that is the consciously incompetent. Right. And our job is to help them go from feeling incompetent to competent. And even if you're well-versed in your past job, in a new job, you're still going to go, you know, everything's going to be new, so you're going to have those uneasy feelings. The second question we would ask would be, tell me what you like. Because we find if we don't get people looking at what they like, there's a natural tendency to find what's wrong instead of what's right. So we want the new employee, even if they're unhappy with some things, we're going to get to that. Talk about, tell me what you like about working here. And the second part of that question is, who's been helpful? Because this is a great way for a small business owner to know, hey, when I'm not here or when somebody else is help training, who's helping this new employee survive? And if you keep hearing all the same names but you don't hear a few names, then you know you might have a few veteran employees who actually don't make it easier, might even make it harder.
Right.
And this allows us also to go back and compliment those employees that are helping. Hey, I hear Bob told me that you really helped explain how our ordering process works.
Well, you may have actually assigned somebody to do the job, and you found out now that they're not doing their job.
Right, right. And that could
very easily happen. Go ahead, third question.
Right, well, I think what also does is allows you to reward and recognize. And, you know, we find research shows from Gallup in University of Michigan that for an employee to feel good about their boss, they're going to need three compliments to every one criticism. And this allows us to harvest the positive for the existing employee for helping the new employee. The third question I think is crucial for small business owners, and I think it's so valuable we just don't do it, and that is, now that you've been here 30 days, you've worked other places, what are some things that now you notice that you feel we could do better, and what are these? We find that when a new employee's on a job, let's say I've been hired at a small landscaping company, and I came from another company, and I'm there 30 days, and I say, let me tell you how we did this at Southern Landscaping. All of a sudden, the guys at Midwest Landscaping are going to say, whoa, 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 you're not at Southern Landscaping. Here's how we do it here. Yet according to research, input is crucial for a new employee to feel involved.
Right.
So if the boss sits down and says, you know, now that you've been here 30 days, you know us a little bit, tell us what we could do better. That allows the employee to feel my boss cares about my opinion. I get input. And probably most important, it allows a company to harvest extremely good ideas from an employee that now can make the comparison.
The problem with what you're talking about, though, is you're talking about getting into self-analysis, and self-analysis hurts. We don't actually request those kinds of that kind of pain too much, and so you got to really want to look inside yourself, folks, if you want to ask these questions. But they do work, as Quint says. If you can ask these questions, they work. Quint, I got 30 seconds. Fourth question.
Last question. Is there any reason why you would think about leaving? Because they won't tell you. They won't just come up and tell you. But if they're thinking it, they'll tell you now. And if you do that the 30th, the 90th day, you'll even get better results, because now they know you're going to be asking, and you'll reduce your new employee turnover 66%.
Shouldn't you have a pretty good idea by the time you get to the fourth question what the answer to the fourth question is going to be?
Maybe, but sometimes, you know, they might. I think you do, but I think it's good to still ask, because somebody's going to come out and tell you something. And, you know, the goal is to hire well, because that saves a lot of trouble. And then the goal is, after, you know, if we keep people over 90 days, we double the fact that they'll be with us the whole year.
Quint Studer, ladies and gentlemen. The book is Hardwiring Excellence. Give this website again, Quint.
www.studergroup.com.
Studergroup.com. Thanks, Quint. See you next
time. Thank you, Jim. Thank you so much.
Quick break. Right back with Chuck Martin after these messages. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
And you ain't had enough to eat.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.